Good morning, church. Good morning, everyone here. Good morning to everyone on our live stream today. We do miss you, and this is just crazy times. Can I just be honest and vulnerable for a minute? The past couple years, I'm not a brand new dad. I've got a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, but the past couple years have really put me through a lot of different thinking. I knew fatherhood would make me want to be, different, that I kind of adopted some new things. I wasn't always so concerned with my surroundings, but as I became a dad, I became more protective. I became more aware of what's going on. I became more future planning. I became more focused on making sure that my kids were okay and safe. And over the past couple of years, can we just be honest? It's been crazy. Social media influences are just crazy with our kids today. I work with the youth and it's just nuts. I look at what's going on with different beliefs and ideas that contradict what the Bible says. And it's just being poured into our students' lives. I look at what's going on with just unrest in our nation and just how there's so much division. I look at just what's gone on in the world over the past 2 years with COVID. And I got to this point last year where I was just really struggling. I'm going to be honest with you guys. Is that okay? I was struggling with this feeling of not being able to take care of my kids. I was praying and just talking to God, and I was just, man, it was one of those just really hard-hitting prayer sessions. I was saying, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to take care of and protect my kids. How do I protect them from what's coming up and all these things that they're dealing with now? It's just going to go even more insane as my kids get older. I've got a 4-year-old and he's already starting to ask questions. He's already seeing things go a certain way. God, how do I protect them? And God just hit me real hard. He said, that's not your job. Your job's not to protect them. Your job is to train them and prepare them to be the light in a dark place. Church, our job is not to always have safety. Our job is not to always just survive. Our job is to be a light in a dark place. Now, my kids aren't here this morning. They're at home. I think they're watching. I don't know, but if you are, Hunter and Owen, hi. I wanted to, before I get into today's message, Hunter this morning, he's my 4-year-old, and he said, Dad, when you go today, you need to tell the people something. And I go, all right, son, what are we going to talk about? Paw Patrol, what's going on? And he said, Dad, when you preach, you need to tell them to do the directions from God. Future preacher right there. So, church, we need to make sure we do the directions from God. We can pray and close now, yeah? Just kidding. Our theme this year as a church is real church. Being the real church. Being the church that God intended us to be. We're spending the year learning how to be effective as the body of Christ. Now, to be effective in anything requires training. Training educates us. Training directs us. Training motivates us. It equips us. Training creates habits and patterns that determine how we handle situations. Today, we're going to look at what effective and necessary training looks like to be the real church. Let's pray real quick. Father God, I thank you just for your love for us. God, that you don't put all the burden on us to do everything. You just call us to be with you, to follow you, to be your children. And God, along the way, you're training us. You're preparing us. You're shaping us to be your children, to be your family, to be your representation on earth. God, I pray over these next moments that as we go through Scripture, God, I pray that these notes, whatever you don't want spoken, God, that you just wipe it from these notes right now. God, I pray that whatever you want us to hear today, that it would just speak. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. We thank you so much for your word, for your truth, for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So our mission as followers of Christ is to cultivate, plant, water, and harvest. We've heard it all year long last year, right? All of 2021, yeah? Man, crazy. We're already in 2022. Cultivate, plant, water, and harvest. That the whole process that we've been learning about, focusing on, is to make disciples. Being a real church means being effective in that mission for Christ. To make disciples. To go out and be the light of the world. And without effectiveness, we're just another group gathering together. We're just another group that kind of likes each other, maybe. And we're here together. Without effectiveness, we're just another thing. See, in order to be effective for Christ, we need to train and grow. Jesus trained his disciples for a bigger purpose than to just exist. Jesus had a short amount of time on earth. He had all the knowledge, all the resources, and needed to get as much into these disciples as he could. Jesus was training his disciples to grow, to live his way of life, and to carry out his mission on earth when he wasn't around. Jesus took a group of guys who were all different. Man, different guys, right? Like, different careers. Some of them were fishermen. Different families, different backgrounds. They probably had different opinions about food. They probably had different opinions about what to do on their time off. Like, they got time off. They had all these, like, differences, right? The different strengths, different weaknesses, different personalities. But Jesus took them and trained them together to start a movement that changed the world. And he continues to do that today with his real church, with the body of believers. He's taken a group of people made up from different walks of life. We look around this room and there is differences here. Different cultures. Different social status. Different personalities. Different strengths. Different weaknesses. We all have different opinions. We're going to go out to lunch at different places, right? We are different. But there's this really amazing thing. Through the work of the Holy Spirit and with the training in the church, we become effective agents to bring light into the world. We become an effective part of God's kingdom mission to bring healing and restoration. With proper training, we learn to function effectively as God's chosen people. Amelia read the verse this morning, Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, and it says this. I'll read it again. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. See, Jesus was training his disciples to go. Jesus was training his disciples to be active. Training isn't just so that you feel better about yourself. Training, it's like going to the gym, lifting all those weights, getting all bulked up, and then you sit at home on a couch all day long. What's the point of that? You go and you get healthy so that you can live a full life, so that you're able to help out your friends when they're moving, so that you can go and keep up with your kids. I remember the start of my journey of getting into the gym and starting this long, long process started when my son was born, because I wanted to keep up with him. I wanted to be able to run around with him. I knew that if God's given me kids, I need to be strong to be able to lead them. See, Jesus was training his disciples how to handle situations and how to love people. In order to do this, Jesus taught them the why. The why is important. You gotta have the heart with the training. He was on a mission to bring reconciliation to the world between mankind and his Father. See, training without the why, it just creates a copycat. Copycats mimic pre-planned scenarios. They copy exactly what they see in the moment. My son, my 2-year-old son, Owen, he's a little copycat. Man, right now, he is copying every little movement. Every time that one of us laughs at something, he looks up and he starts laughing. He doesn't even get why. Every time that Hunter gets up and wants to start dancing, Owen's right there with him. Every time that Hunter says something wrong, Owen's right there with him. Every time we say something wrong, Owen's right there with us. He doesn't know what he's saying, why he's saying it. He just does it. See, when you spend enough time around someone, you start to copy their movements, but there's no heart behind it. There's no understanding of why. We don't want to be copycats, but ambassadors for Christ. See, ambassadors, they don't just copy and follow exactly what to do. They're given authority to go out, just like Pastor Glenn said a few weeks ago. They're sent out as a representation. We're supposed to be ambassadors for Christ. That takes training, and that takes the heart, the why. We want to be mature, acting with discernment and wisdom. As the church, we need to be ready for all situations. So I want to share with you now, why do we need this training to be a real church? You know, I mean, we all are kind of different. We all have different strengths and weaknesses. Well, I want to tell you some of those reasons. Number one, training unites us. One of the benefits of training is it unites. Jesus gathered his disciples together. Jesus had them follow him together. He taught them together. He commissioned them out together. Training together brings camaraderie. It brings loyalty. Training together strengthens family. I've been really getting into this kick lately about watching these military shows, SEAL Team, Special Ops guys, and I've been watching these shows and just, you know, you've seen the movies. These guys go to their training, right? They go to training first. They don't just get thrown out in the field. They go to training first. They got to learn all the skills, all the training possible to be effective. And first they show up, and what happens? They can't stand each other, right? That's what makes these movies so great, or these stories so great. It's not just exclusive to the SEALs or the other military things. It's football teams. People come together and they can't stand each other. Right? We can't stand each other at first. They don't like each other. They focus on their differences. They focus on what the other person does wrong, what their attitude is. But along the way, as they start to struggle together, as they start to work through the problems together, as they build techniques and skills and education together, as they learn the heart of the mission together, they build a bond. They've got each other's backs. And now when they go out on the field, I got your back. We're together in this. See, training, when done right, it unifies everyone under the same vision and the same purpose. The second thing that training does, it corrects bad behavior, skills, and attitudes, and it establishes and enforces best practices. See, when you go into a new job, you have this certain approach that you're already going into from your past experience. When I left the YMCA and came to work at the church, I started working with people the same way that I kind of worked problems working at the YMCA. We come in maybe from an old church history, and we show up and we go, oh, well, that's not how we did it in my old church or at my old job. We have this predisposition. Can I tell you, it's no different with our walk with Christ. If you haven't heard me say this before, we're all born as dirty little sinners. Every single one of us, every one of you here, dirty little sinner from birth. We have this predisposition to live a certain way, to have certain approaches to how we handle life, how we act. And when we come into a relationship with Jesus, we're introduced to a new way of living. We're introduced to a new way of doing things. It's not your old job anymore. It's a new life. See, Jesus trained his disciples, and when he trained them, he had to address their attitudes, their behaviors. He had to address their thought process, and he replaced it with kingdom mindset. There were times where he had to get really hard with them, right? You remember, get behind me, Satan? Like, that's not fun to hear, right? I mean, I don't know. If your boss all of a sudden was listening to you and was like, hey, get behind me, Satan, I think he'd quit on the spot, right? There was some real, like, correction that had to happen. But Jesus knew what he was doing. He was working toward a kingdom mindset. See, at first, living for Christ is not normal. It's awkward, right? It's uncomfortable. It's counterintuitive. Living selfless? What is that garbage? Putting others first? Are you kidding me? No, I'm first. Being humble? Come on, man, really? Giving to those in need? Well, I'm the one in need. Choosing joy in the middle of chaos? Are you serious right now? None of this feels normal or comfortable. But here's the thing. The more you practice and live it out, it becomes your new normal. You have to fight against your flesh. The training is not always easy. Training and becoming like Jesus is not always easy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it says this, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly," because that's people that run marathons. "I do not fight like a boxer beating the air," because you'd probably be getting admitted, right? I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. There is purpose and intention. You train with purpose. And it's against ourselves. It's actually like beating up our old way of life. See, the truth is, you'll continually live this process the rest of your life. Jesus calls us to die to ourselves and live for him. Die to yourself. That's every day until you're dead. And live for him every day you wake up. And the longer and more we become like Christ, the more we realize how far off we really are. See, it's like golf. I will never be good at golf. I've come to that realization and I'm okay with it, all right? Here's the deal. When I first started golf, I got sucked into it early on, like early 20s. And I just, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. I went out there and I swung it and I hit the ball and I felt good. I was like, look at that. I hit that thing. I didn't know anything, so I thought I was good. Then I started to get into the game a little bit. I got some clubs. I started to play with Pastor Greg and Pastor Sean, guys that were actually, in my mind, good. Now, they'd probably tell you I'm not good. Let me get to that. Here's the deal. The more time that I spent and I practiced and I started to learn, oh, well, here's the way you're really supposed to grip it. Here's how you need to make sure to stand. Make sure you put your head this way. Make sure you don't swing too fast. Stay in a rhythm. Like, all these different things, and I'm only touching on a few. Man, I suck. I'm so far off. It's the same thing with Christ. When we first come into a relationship with Christ, we don't know anything. The first step is just to get in the game. Just get in the relationship with Jesus. But the more time that you train, the more time that you spend in the Word, the more time that you spend with him, you're growing. You're doing good. And yet, you're so far off because Jesus is perfect. We just need to become okay with that concept and continue to do the work to die to ourselves and live for him. The next thing training does, training grows and strengthens us. Right? This is like a big purpose of why we do this. You go and you lift weights at the gym. You go and if you're on a sports team, you're doing all the training and conditioning to get stronger, to get faster, to grow in your skills. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." The more that you grow in your spiritual disciplines, the more that you grow in the fruits of the Spirit, the more that you grow in these things of Christ, it will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive for him. Jesus wants us to continue to train spiritually, to grow in him, to get stronger, because we have a purpose. Training equips us. The first thing you do when you get a new job You don't just get thrown into the job, hopefully, right? If you're working at the right place, you don't just get thrown into a job. You first get an onboarding, an orientation. The information is important, right? You learn about the culture. You learn about the whys, the hows, why we do these things these ways. The DNA. Becoming a follower of Christ is no different. And sometimes, you know, those of us that have been around for a while, we kind of forget about this stuff. It's important to go back to the basics. It's important to go back to our fundamentals and our focus of who we are as followers of Christ. Training equips us over and over with this knowledge, with this information that just doesn't sit there, but becomes something that moves us. That equips us for a moment when we have a conversation. Our education and our knowledge here at the church, it looks like spending time in the Word of God. Personally, like you, not just a program and a plan, but you. See, training, it's one of those things that you don't just do it just with a group of people. You don't just train together, right? Like, if I just go to the gym and I work out only when I'm working out with other people, it's not going to last. You have to have the drive yourself. Pick up your Bible and get in God's Word. Do the training. Training looks like the small group time that we have, right? Coming together and learning about God and growing together. We learn here on Sunday mornings. That's why staying consistent and being in the church is important. We learn the why. Jesus did this, right? Sermon on the Mount is a great example of what he taught his disciples. He was teaching this to his followers. It wasn't like he just went out and did a big outreach to people. It was his followers. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. Jesus did this through parables over and over. He was teaching the crowds, but he was really making sure that his disciples got it. Because there was a point in time where Jesus knew was coming, where he wasn't going to be around, and they needed to pass this on. God's word is so important. God's word is so important in our training process as followers. It's what equips us. It's what lives inside of us. In 2 Timothy, it says this, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for good work. Church, we need to be equipped to do the good work that God has called us to do. Training is the preparation for something bigger. See, everything Jesus taught his disciples through life, through his experiences with the parables that he taught, was preparing them for the work of starting the church when he left. He was teaching them how to function, how to depend on the Spirit, how to pray boldly, how to care for those in need. He constantly reminded them of his mission and their part in it. What is God wanting to prepare us for as a real church? What is he wanting to prepare Abundant Life for? Will we be ready for the next season? What if God brought 100 new people through these doors next Sunday? Would we be prepared to really disciple them? Would we be really prepared as a church body to walk them through this journey with Christ? See, part of being a real church is providing proper training to the whole body. Effective training requires relationship and community. We learn best together. We learn best as a group. Our training as Christians, it's not individualized. It's communal. It's the body of believers together. We're one family. We are one body made up of many parts. The whole body needs training. So you can't just train one part. It's like weight training. Again, there's just a lot of good examples with this. But you go into the gym and you see the guy that's just focusing on his biceps, lifting all that weight, doing his biceps, bulking up, and then he's got chicken legs. He might be able to break a wall with his fist, but I guarantee you he's not going to be able to outrun anything. See, you can't just focus on one part. The whole body needs to work together. Ephesians chapter 4 says this, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his... Pastor Sean, I'm actually not done yet. I've got some time, buddy. We're not out yet. I just didn't want him sitting up here the whole time. Sorry, let's get back to that scripture. Christ, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of the people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. For him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The whole body needs training. The whole body needs proper training. Proper training in the church looks like commitment. Proper training in the church requires commitment. So you only get out of your training and discipline what you put into it. If you don't, if you show up here and you're just kind of like the last one in, first one out, never connecting with people, never spending time getting to know what we believe as followers of Christ, never spending time in your word, you're not going to get much out of this. Jesus said to his disciples when he first brought them in, when he called them, right? He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He didn't say, hey, follow me and we're going to go do this, 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 and this. He just said, follow me. Let's go. They had to make a choice. They had to make a decision to commit. Are you committed? Proper training requires a diet change. We can't just go in and start trying to work out and think that that's going to be enough, right? You got to change what you eat. You got to change getting rid of the bad things in your diet and getting good things into your diet. As followers of Christ, we need that spiritually. We need to make sure that we have gotten rid of the bad, unhealthy things that are influencing us in our life and start to pick up the good things and let that feed our soul. See, You can train all you want, but if you're getting a bunch of garbage in you, man, you're not going to do anything. Proper training requires practice. You'll play the way that you practice. We need to start here in the church. The training is here of how we interact daily, how we love one another, how we treat one another, how we pray for one another. How can we love people outside of the church if we can't even love people here? Now, practice makes perfect, right? Practice doesn't make perfect. Only Jesus makes perfect. But practice makes habit. The more that we start to practice, it becomes our nature. It's never going to be perfect in us, right? We could put on this training and practice, but then as we stop, like, can you imagine the guys that are in these sports leagues? These athletes, these world athletes, these Olympic athletes, as they do their thing and they're training and practicing, when they stop and they put it on hold, maybe they take a season off. It is so hard to get back into it. We need to continually practice and treat each other in a way that is loving. We need to practice our disciplines daily and make a habit out of it. So I'm talking about a lot of things with training, and the question might come up. So is our training, our discipleship, is it a program? Is it a thing that we go to? You know, Pastor Jim talked about school of ministry. That is a structured, organized training program. And it's so important. And can I just tell you a little plug for that? I went through that program and it did change my life. I am convinced that I am in the position I am today of ministering to youth students, of caring with families, that I'm equipped to do that because of the ministry that I went through, because of the training that I went through. But it's not all about a program. That's just one piece of the puzzle. See, Jesus trained his disciples and involved them in the day-to-day living. They learned as they lived. Spiritual training and growth is done through life experience. It can have elements of programs in class, But everyday life together is the training. Becoming the real church requires life experience together, loving each other. The training is crucial. Church, I don't know how to get this out enough, but we can't stop. Our mission for Christ is too important. The training is crucial. Training, when done right, can give us understanding. It can give us purpose, effectiveness. It can create habits in us to make an impact. Training done wrong can confuse us. It can overwhelm us. It can intimidate us. And it can leave us creating unhealthy habits that get replicated. It's important to get the proper training. I'm going to wrap up real quick here with a few things. Proper training qualifies you for responsibility. 2 Timothy says this, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." A bunch of us recently took this CPR training. So don't worry. If anyone gets, you know, unconscious, we're going to take care of you. We got the little cards. See, we went through a training program. We went through a training process. We sat through hours of training that was educational and hands-on. Now, we only did scenarios. We worked with dummies, so not any of you are dummies. But we got the card. We were qualified now for the responsibility. See, training qualifies us. That what we do here, we're not going to give you a card once you've read so much of your Bible. We're not going to give you this little card that you can show around when you go into Costco that says you're good to go. Like, it's not about that. But it equips you and makes you ready to do the work. We have work to do in the world. We have work to do in our families, in our friends' lives, at our work. Proper training shapes us to be like our teacher. We're called to become more like Christ. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 6. He said, "The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher." Let the training shape you to become like the teacher. Proper training sets the example. Jesus always set an example for his disciples. He never taught what he wasn't willing to do. He never said to do things that he himself didn't do. Remember when he washed his disciples' feet? Man, that's an uncomfortable thing. I should know. My wife and I, we washed each other's feet on our wedding day. That was our first thing as a married couple in front of everyone. But it was to show that we were committed to serve and love one another. And Jesus did that with his disciples. He washed his disciples' feet. And this is what he said after. "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." Now, I'm not telling you guys to go wash each other's feet right now. We're not going to bring out the buckets. But I'm telling you, go and serve one another. Put it into practice. Let the training be loving one another. Let the training be serving one another. Being a real church looks like living it out daily. Proper training challenges us to grow. When we train hard, we hit walls. We hit moments where we don't know how to grow. And that's where God works through us. That's where God ministers to us. That's where these challenges that we start to get into of how to handle life a godly way, we start to grow. And the trials and the challenges of life, when we train and we focus and we stay connected with Christ, we grow in those moments. Proper training is in the little things. See, it's the everyday tasks that God is doing big things in. While we may see the everyday tasks, God's developing our character. Jesus didn't focus on roles or titles. He spent time training his disciples in everyday stuff. The training and developing is in the little stuff. It's in the day-to-day. It's how you interact every day. Pastor Sean, you can come up now. It's in the everyday training. It's in how you respond to your spouse, how you walk life with your kids and set an example for them. It's how you respond to a boss when you know you're not in the wrong. It's how you make sure to tame your tongue when you hear some gossip. Jesus is molding us and shaping us to become more like him. The little things are the big things. Everyday life is not just pointless things that we're just walking around with. God is doing something daily in us. Too often we're chasing after a glorified position or a responsibility, recognition. We focus on being leaders instead of being a servant. We let our pride and our ego get in the way. God uses the simple tasks to strengthen and develop our character. Training is important, and it's a never-ending process. The minute you stop training is the minute you become weak. What about us old dogs, the ones that have been around in the church for a while? You know, this training idea might be good for new people that come into the church. Well, I want to tell you today, you'll never outgrow the need for training. It may just look different. Think about those great athletes. They train to stay at the top, to continue to push the boundaries, to continue to break records, to make impact. If Michael Jordan stopped when he just kind of was, you know, at his prime, we wouldn't have guys today that are breaking records. It pushes you to new limits. But some practices are non-negotiable. They never stop. You never move on from certain parts of the training. The basics, reading your Bible, praying, fasting, worship, committed to being givers, dependency on the Spirit. You'll never outgrow the basics. The other thing with being the ones that have been around for a while, we continually train, but the training also becomes the training. Because discipleship doesn't end with you just becoming stronger in Christ and being mature. It continues on with replication. Discipleship is about discipling other people. The purpose of being discipled is so you can disciple others. Jesus said to go out and expand what he's doing. So I want to wrap up with this question. Are you actively engaged in spiritual training? Do you have people who are training you? Do you have training partners who are calling you out? Spiritual training partners, that's friends in your life that are going to call you out on your garbage, on your bad form, when you don't do it right, and that you do the same. Are you partnering with the church to train and develop others for Christ if you're further along? Are you ready to be that church? See, to be effective as a real church in discipleship making, we need proper training and equipping to become more like Jesus, to live and love others like Jesus. Do we see our work as a church to be crucial? Do we have an important mission? Do we really connect how important our mission is and our work as his church? That we can really grab hold of how important it is to be trained and be prepared for the work. You know, I believe part of the reason God doesn't make us already equipped with every single thing and just ready to go is he wants the relationship. He wants us to come depending on him. Growing with him. The training isn't just about us being better. The training is about the relationship with him together, because that's what real church is. Continuing to grow, finding that next step. So you'll never be truly ready for the next step. You ever heard that said? You'll never be truly ready. I remember someone telling me, you'll never be fully ready for marriage until you get married. You'll never be fully ready for the next job until you are in that job. you'll never fully be ready, church, to do everything God is asking you to do until you start to do it. But even then, we're not meant to do it alone. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy says, For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. See, being in a real church requires proper training, equipping, and dependency on the Holy Spirit together. We have an important mission, church, to be His family, to be His church. We need to do the training. We need to do the work. Let the Spirit change you. Let the Spirit break away the things in you and guide you to become more like Christ. Because it's in that movement, that action, that process, that we are being the real church. I want to pray right now. God, we don't know everything that you've planned for us to do as individuals. We don't know everything that you're going to be bringing toward us as a church. We don't know how things are going to look in a year, in 2 years from now. We don't know what challenges we're going to face. We don't know what growth we're going to have. But we do know this, God. We know what your mission is. We know what you've called us to. You've called us to love people. You've called us to love you and to love people. And God, that requires us to train, to grow, to be discipled, to disciple others, to love others, and to depend on your Holy Spirit. God, as we gear up and we start learning about what the real church looks like, I pray that it wouldn't just be knowledge in our heads, but that it would be a lifestyle. And that we would continue to stay focused on the basics and build that foundation strong. That we would be determined together to be your church. I pray, God, if there's anyone in here that struggles with connecting with others, that struggles with doing the work of training and self-discipline, of just struggling with this idea of coming together, God, I pray that you'd just break that. Break the awkwardness in us. Break the uncomfortable spirit. Help us to die to our flesh and live for you. I pray, God, that over the next few months, as we pursue living out your church, that we would grow spiritually, in number, and that we would make a difference for this community, for you. We love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you so much for who you are and for your sacrifice. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Just before we close, and we'll have an opportunity for you, if you'd like to pray through maybe the Lord has spoken to you in the service today, or just have something on your heart you want to pray through, I just want to invite you, we'll have the prayer partners to be some couples up here at the close of the service, so you can just ask for prayer, and they would love to pray with you. We'll close with a chorus, so if you'd stand with me if you're able. Before we do that, while I have your attention, I figured it would be helpful, because I know in a message like this that was well delivered and it sounds great, our flesh is going to say, but I don't have time for that. I don't have time. You know, everything I do right now is that's about all I can do. So I'm going to issue you what most of you have, many of you have heard from me, which I will call Pastor Sean's challenge from here on out. Is if I were the richest man, and this is hypothetical, I'm not, in the world, and I would bestow upon you, let's just throw a big number out there, $500 billion. If you would agree with me for a year to spend a daily time in God's Word, to pray, and to seek His face each day, would you do it? Let me ask it a different way. Would anyone not do that? Right. You'd be a fool not to. It's helpful for a little bit of hyperbole there because, well, it really isn't. Because how much more valuable is our connection with the Lord and our ability to be connected with Him and to do what He's asked us to do so that we can train and we can work? It is far more valuable than $500 billion. So sometimes it's helpful to put things into perspective, to really think, what is more important in my life than doing this? And that's what I'll leave with you. If there are some things that you need to shed and allow yourselves time and space, I want to encourage you to do so. Let's close with this song. So I throw up my hands and praise You again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing Father. Lord, I love the fact that this is an opportunity for us to walk side by side with You. Jesus, You never leave us nor forsake us. I pray, Father, that as we go today, Heavenly Father, that there would just be a nagging of Your Holy Spirit in our lives. God, that we would continue this work and we would train each day, Father, to take up our cross, abandon what we want, and just connect with You so we know, Lord, what You would have for us and what You would want in our lives. I pray that as we go, You'd be glorified. It's in Jesus' mighty name, everyone say, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday.